This is the May 31st edition of Pin the Shoulders podcast. I'm Serious Brad, and what I want you to think of me as is a fan. A fan on his way down the road to become a super fan, and I'm having all of you join me so you can get educated along the road with me, Serious Brad. Welcome to the show, Pin the Shoulders podcast, and folks, I got some great news. We got one hell of a panel tonight. Not only do we have the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper, we have the return of the JQ Way, baby. James Quinn is back on the show. Guys, how's it going tonight? You ready to talk some wrestling or what?
Doing well on my
What's
end.
Up, Brad?
How are you, sir?
Doing awesome, guys. Well, first of all, Phil, thank you for joining us. I know that you have your you had your neck surgery and you just started your therapy, so you must be quite sore.
Yeah, I'm having a rough night.
Well, hey man, you know that we appreciate you on here. It's not a panel without Phil Stamper, and it's not a panel without James Quinn. Sir, welcome back to the show. How is everything?
Everything's great, Brad. Things are going well, but real quick, Mr. Stamper, Phil, I'm wishing you a speedy recovery, sir. I hope things are going well for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah, things are great. Just happy to be back on the show. I missed the last couple episodes, so we got some wrestling to get caught up on, don't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so much going on right now. There really is. I mean, you got some guys talking trash about the independent circuit, and I'm sure, Mr. President, you've got plenty to say about that. Or maybe you don't. Maybe we'll step over this one tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay going there. I didn't know if you were moving on to another topic before we went there. I guess it's really, where do you want to start?
I'm talking about, of course, Baron Corbin lashing out on, I can't even think of his name right now, to be honest with you. I feel horrible. But you know what I'm talking about, though, where Baron Corbin lashed out saying, of course, paraphrasing that independent wrestlers work for peanuts and what they're doing is not worth, a spit in the puddle.
Right. This is coming from a failed NFL player. So, yay for him. So what line do you want to walk? And I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to disagree with the aspect of that the performers at the WWE level are tremendous athletes. And people will say all sorts of comments about Kevin Owens, but I want to see a 5'10", 310-pound man do what he does in the ring. So I'm not ever going to disparage any kind of the athleticism of anybody in professional wrestling, and especially anybody in the WWE.
Oh, surely not.
However, for somebody who's never had the experience of having to go through the independent process, which is interesting that the people who are making those comments typically have seemed to have been people who have not gone through the independent wrestling scene. Baron Corbin, Randy Orton. Now, I will sort of segue that, though, because I'm reminded of a post that William Regal made about a little over a year ago, where he showed an x-ray of his neck, multiple fusions, screws, plates in his neck all over the place.
Yeah, I remember. That was pretty gruesome, actually.
Right. And all he said was, think about what you're doing. That's completely appropriate. Think about it. Just, how are you doing it? Is it intelligent? Is it smart? I think it is the right thing to say. Think about your longevity in wrestling. Think about your long-term career and personal health. Okay, that makes sense. But people like Randy Orton and Baron Corbin coming at independent wrestling, Baron Corbin, who got his name from Darren Corbin, from the independents because he couldn't use his own name. By the way.
Ouch.
you know, again, they didn't go through the independent process, so they don't know what that experience was like. They have not had to learn lessons the same kind of way. They've had professionals for a long time, or people with a lot more experience and a lot more training than a lot of people get exposed to on the independent level more regularly, also be in their ear about this is what's right, this is what you need to do, focus this, focus this, focus this. And didn't Baron Corbin just, by the way, get pushed away from a main event push? Oh, that's a whole other conversation. Let's not go there.
I don't even remember where he's, what show he's on. I can't remember.
Right.
Like Sunday Night Heat, isn't it?
So, and I'm being a little more biting, and I will say maybe that the I don't know, the aggravation in my arm is not aiding my personal opinion right now. And that's just it. It is, yes, it is a personal opinion. Everyone's free to voice that. But when they come from a place of not having the experience or not willing to come to understand how people came up or why they came up a certain way, or, hey, you know, even if he had come at it about, this is why I disagree, not the place of, I'm going to try to steal the heat from Randy Orton and use it as my own heat, and make me look uber heel nerdy cool. I don't know what he's trying to do, because it's just not working. It's just not working.
Well, folks, now that I've done my job and I've gotten the temperature in here raised a little bit, and I apologize, Mr. President. You know, I kind of did it maybe just a little bit on purpose, because I knew it would get the mojo going in this place, because, well, if you're not following Phil Stamper, the president of wrestling, you should, and you'll know that he is a huge advocate, hence his name, an advocate of the independent circuit, and he'll defend it tooth and nail to his grave. But before we get to our guest tonight, Matthew Palmer, I know him from Inspire Pro Wrestling. He had a huge feud with one of our previous guests. I think it was the March 15th show, Steve Areno, who is currently the heavyweight champion for Inspire Pro Wrestling. Before we get to them, I got to thank our sponsors, of course, the Greg DeMarco Radio Network, Pro Wrestling Biz. Go check these guys out at on Twitter at BW Wrestling News, and at Pro Wrestling Biz and BreakingWrestlingNews.com. I told you guys before that we don't really do much of a review show on here. It's more interview, from the hip topics, shoot from the hip topics, like I just did at the beginning of the show. But ProWrestling.biz certainly does. We got the Mitchell Report, Wednesday Cook Wednesday, DWI Wrestling Podcast, the Marco Wrestling Podcast. I could go on and on, but we have plenty of shows you guys can pick from to go check out all your reviews on all the major shows in pro wrestling right now. And we've also got HiQ Hydration Energy. Go check them out at liquidhiq.com. They got a bunch of flavors right now coming out real soon. Skyberry, Coconut Fruit Punch, Lem Lime, and Apple. And apparently, guys, not only do they want you to keep your energy up during the day, they want to be part of the night scene too. So they're suggesting, and of course, this is only for 21 and up, and make sure you drink responsibly. Mix that stuff up, like Skyberry Fusion. I guess they suggest vodka with it, and Apple, of course, Apple Vodka. So, you know, go try out these flavors and mix them with your favorite alcohol beverage. go check them out on Twitter, HiQ2015. Also, shout out to Tim at SquaredCircleApparel.com. I'm actually wearing his shirt right now. It's the off-season ? Never heard of it. I can't feel it. That's how comfortable it is. It's an awesome shirt. Very comfortable. Go check it out. If you like it, put in my promo code SeriousBrad, and it's going to give you 15% off that shirt. It's a really sweet shirt, and he's got a bunch of other stuff, like the Square Circle hat that was caught on WrestleMania this year, and a few other shows that, you know, they caught it on. So shout out to him. Thank you very much, sir. Grapple and fivefingerjerky.com. Those are the sponsors for Pin the Shoulders podcast. And, yeah, guys, what about you guys? What's going on? Mr. Stamper, you went on a road trip, didn't you?
I did. I went up to Toronto, Canada, for Vampiro's Underground Invasion.
I heard about that, man. It looked really interesting. Of course, it's Vampiro. And if you guys don't know, Vampiro is currently an announcer and part of the show of Lucha Underground, which, you know, they have some intense stuff. So I can only imagine what Vampiro came up with. You know, can you give us a little taste of how awesome it was?
So what was really cool, because there's some parts about Vampiro's personal history that I didn't know in the world of wrestling, and he started the night talking about that, which I thought was amazingly cool. I didn't know he grew up in Toronto. And I even think he said the specific neighborhood, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but at North Bay. And that he grew up with a love of music, especially metal. And at one point in his life, he was 16, and he was a good athlete. And being a Canadian, he wanted to play hockey, but he was too young for the minors and didn't know what to do. And he sort of skipped over a part, but then was like, I basically got on a bus and went to Mexico City. Got off the bus, didn't know anybody, had $50 in my pocket, had a couple changes of clothes, and that was it. And was trying to figure out life, and wanted a place to go work out, and then they pointed him to a gym, and it happened to be a wrestling gym, and he was a tall guy, and, you know, well, decently built, and they were like, hey, do you want to try out this wrestling thing? And so he did, and that's kind of his start. He talked about when he got into WCW and the challenges that he faced by people who made, first, the assumption that he was from Mexico, and then, B, being racist towards him because they thought he was from Mexico, and people in the locker room. And that was – you know, that was sort of a, like, oh, you know, that dark side does live inside of every organization, unfortunately. And I don't mean every wrestling organization. I mean just, you know, in the world of professional wrestling, you know, whatever company or business you work at, you find, you know, people who behave poorly and poorly represent themselves in their company. And
yes, sir.
He talked about that, having to experience that, and then having to say, well, first, you're full of crap, and I'm saying it a lot nicer right now. that's inappropriate, and how dare you ever say that to me or anybody from Mexico. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm from North Bay, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And then they were like – and then they were super cool to him because he called them out, and then they sort of respected him for the fact that he called them out. But the night itself, the venue itself felt a little smaller than your typical wrestling venue, but that made it feel just so much more intense. There was a very live energy throughout the course of the evening. There were about 300 people packed inside of Leeds Palace, which is the no more for music venue in Toronto. And just it was a great night of action. I think Tyson Dukes and Carter Mason stole the night. Vampiro, even at one point, you can see this on his Facebook page, he stood up during their match and recorded part of their match and threw it on his personal Facebook and was like, and said, this is the best professional wrestling match I've seen in 15 years.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And then, I mean, the rest of the night, then you saw Matt Cross and Willie Mack have an amazing match. You saw Drago and Aerostar just kill it and each other in the main event. That was phenomenal to see. I had not been exposed to a lot of the guys in the Toronto scene, but those I had did really well. There was a three-way dance, Hacker Scotty O'Shea, Space Monkey, and Sebastian Suave, and Space Monkey and O'Shea especially just killed it. It was a great showing, I think, for the whole night. Again, great energy, very lively crowd. And it was a cool night to watch.
That's awesome. And I can't wait to actually, you know, sit down and watch some of the videos that are going to pop up. And of course, we'll get back to that. But folks, we're going to get to our guest tonight. Whether you know him by the show stealer, the centerfold, or Showtime, either way, it's the same man. His name is Matthew Palmer. How's it going, sir? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on. How was your Memorial Day?
You know, it was okay. I spent most of it traveling and not sleeping, so I guess it was okay. You know, it's a typical day.
Fair enough. Well, hey, the purpose of my show really is to get some of the independent wrestlers on the show and let the, you know, audience at home know who they are, where they came from, and just pretty much promote how rad the independent circuit is. So if you could, tell us, where did Matthew Palmer get a start?
I got my start in Arlington, Texas. I think it was like 2007, I think. Yeah, I think it was 2007, 2008. I can't remember. I've been hitting the head a lot. But I was trained by Lance Hoyt originally, and then like they kind of like trained me for about a month and a half, 2 months, and just kind of just shoved me on the road, you know, and I kind of learned as I went. And most of my formal training was really with Robert Evans. I guess some people know him as Mixed Marchie Archie or Archibald Peck in Chikara. Okay. He's currently just a WWE writer right now. That's how I got my start, mostly just in Texas, and shifted over to Austin, Texas, got a lot of work, and then just started hitting the road since then.
Heck yeah, man. Now, I'm sure, like, and I don't know, I'm not a professional wrestler, and I haven't trained or anything like that, but I can imagine, just like I've played football, I can imagine going through the process of training and getting beat up and, being discouraged quite a bit. When you went through that whole process and got to your actual first match, what was it like, man? Were you nervous? Were you confident that you were going to be able to do this? What was going through your head?
Oh, man. I was nervous beyond belief. Like, I could not tell you. See, I performed in front of people before. Before I became a wrestler, I was actually a stage actor for a long time. I did it professionally for a couple of years after I did it in high school and college. And so performing in front of people was not an issue. It's just I was never a physical person. I was never a sports guy or anything like that. I was just an actor. And so it was very difficult to go in there and, you know, get the piss beat out of me, you know, while I'm being trained.
Fair enough.
So to do that in my first match, I was wrestling Robert Evans, you know, one of the guys that trained me. And the first move I took was an open hand slap in the face as hard as Robert could throw. And, years later, I talked to him about it. And he said it was because, like, the first move I ever took had to be something, you know, to figure out if I'm going to stay in this business or not. So I remember I was nervous. I was scared. You know, I walked to the ring, unsure of how I could handle it. He slapped me as hard as he could. And I was not nervous anymore. I was just straight up pissed off at that guy. So I just punched him in the jaw. He hit me back and we had our match. It was a lot of fun. I was exhausted. It was I remember it being the most fulfilling yet exhausting night of my life. And I can go back and look at that match, and I'm sure it's god awful, but probably one of my proudest moments in my life, professionally, is that match. Even still watching it, I can get a smile out of it, more so than most other matches I've ever had, even if they're perfect.
And I feel really rude right now, and I apologize for being rude.
Okay.
I didn't introduce you to my panel. First of all, the president of wrestling, Philip Stamper.
Hello, sir.
Howdy, sir. How are you?
I'm well.
And the JQ Way, James Quinn.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Matthew. How are you?
Oh, I'm well.
Now, the reason I did that, of course, if you hear random voices that pop out of nowhere, it's not me changing my voice and being weird. I'm past that. I don't do that anymore.
Only on Sundays, Brad.
Only on Sundays, maybe on Tuesdays. Taco Tuesdays, I get a little excited.
Good.
So.
good. I'm just glad it's not my concussions.
That's good. Yes, that's important. You're okay, sir.
Always blame the concussion. That's the best thing.
Yeah, that's what I always do. It's the indies. We're allowed to.
Fair enough.
That's right.
Now, of course, most pro wrestlers, they're a fan before they got into it. What was your favorite match as a fan? Maybe actually top three. What were your top three favorite matches as a fan?
Oh, man, that's not fair. I've been watching wrestling since I was 4 years old, so.
Oh, okay. Well, what's the one that, sticks out, like, you always go back to?
Okay. Let's see. It's hard to say. Do you want one as a wrestler that I go back and study, or do you want one that just reminds me of being a kid?
Actually, man, if you don't mind, let's do both, because I was going to ask you what your favorite match is as a performer.
Okay, if I, as watching wrestling now and kind of observing it and like trying to learn as much as possible, I absolutely love this SummerSlam match. I think it was the opener of SummerSlam 2002 or 3. It's a Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle. I love watching it. It's like 8 minutes long, and they just go the entire time. They're just moving like 100 miles an hour. It's freaking beautiful the way they go. I watch that one all the time. I'm a huge Chris Benoit fan. I know it's taboo to mention him, but like I'm a huge Benoit fan, so I would always go back and watch like Chris Benoit and Kevin Sullivan if I want to watch just like a great brawl that has technical aspects and as well. And let's see, third match as performer watching, darn it, it's really hard. I would probably say Bret Nolan from WrestleMania 10, just as a technical standpoint. Yeah, it's great. And like there's many more that I would even consider better matches, but like if I'm going to study wrestling, like if I would just want to study technical wrestling with a heel and a baby face, then that's like the go-to match. That's perfect.
Well, that's the thing is like, as a wrestling fan, it's hard to, I mean, there's definitely matches out there. You're just like, oh man, that was horrible. But more times than not, you're going to enjoy a match, but there's just key matches that just stand out. Like for me, example, I know it's kind of generic, but Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels ladder match, man. Like when I think of my favorite matches,
there's nothing generic about that.
No, I'm just saying like lots of people love that match and it's,
oh, I love it, buddy.
It just pops in every single time. And you know, that's one of them. And then of course, you know, I love the one where Lex Luthor flew in to, slam Yokozuna. That was another favorite of mine.
Yeah.
That was just random
All-American Lex Luthor.
Yeah, dude. It was fantastic, man. It's matches like that
I remember being a little kid watching that, not knowing what the hell was going on. Cause, like, didn't that guy love himself too much like a week ago? Like,
yeah.
All of a sudden he's All-American.
God love wrestling, man. God love wrestling.
Oh, it's great. Like,
all right, guys.
It's the most absurd thing in the world. It's so great.
That's actually something that we were talking about earlier and on previous shows. That's one of the things I love about Lucha Underground is that they're kind of bringing back that third wall to like the fullest. And it's awesome to see like any kind of storyline is possible on that show.
Right.
And it's great. And I love seeing that. But, I got to get down to some of those serious questions.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Here it is. What was your favorite show, Blossom or Home Improvement? Yeah, that's right. I pulled it out.
Okay. Well, considering I've never even seen Blossom, I'm going to go with Home Improvement.
You never seen? Who hasn't seen Blossom?
So...
Guys, don't leave me hanging here. If all you
not
say
Blossom.
You haven't
I'm
seen Blossom,
being in the industry,
I'm shutting this bitch down
admit,
right now.
I have seen Blossom.
I thought we were going to get like, all right, let's talk some TV shows. And you throw out Blossom at me. I was like, well, shit. I mean, Mother throwing in Heat of the Night, too. I've never seen that. What else he got?
I mean, I was alive while Blossom was on, but I don't think I watched it.
You guys don't remember
yeah,
Joey going, hey, yo, you know, saying shit like that? No?
Oh, yeah. Joey Lawrence.
I think that's
big show for him.
I think that's the entirety of what that show was built on.
Yeah. Yes, that's pretty much what it was.
And it ran
in
for
his,
six seasons.
Don't forget about his music video. If you had a music video, Google that shit, man. It's embarrassing as fuck. I guarantee you'll like
back
it.
Back then, I remember it.
Oh, yeah, man.
I don't
know. Yeah, I remember the one. Jean Jacket, long
no
hair.
Clue.
Yeah, roller skates
no
and shit.
Clue.
Oh, yeah. All right.
See,
I'm
it
gonna
seems
ask,
a bit
right.
dated, honestly.
It is. And I pull out this random shit, and I apologize, but it just makes the
no,
show
no,
a little
no
like fun. But this next question doesn't necessarily reflect how you feel about this person or your views on, you know, choices or politics or anything like that. Just a quick question: is Donald Trump gonna get impeached? Yes or no?
I would say probably not. I would say that the process had already been happening at this point with enough stuff. I don't think it's going to happen. Personally, I'm more of an anarchist these days anyway. So it's just like, get rid of all of them.
I agree, man.
So it's like, I don't understand how we go and have this stereotype of not trusting. We don't trust lawyers, politician and businessman, just as it's like a general stereotype. It's even so much that it's a joke, like a boring joke. And like, we keep electing them and we're like, oh yeah, we keep getting screwed. 50% of the country's going to get screwed at some point or another. And it's like, why do we keep electing them? Get rid of them.
Well, I got kind of tired of the media about it because I literally was yelling at my touchpad this morning while I was on the toilet at CNN because their whole coverage was about Donald Trump's mistype.
Yeah.
That fucking mistype. I was like, are we seriously having a full panel on why this guy did a mistype? And it was an obvious mistype, but, you know, it's like,
it's insane
conspiracy.
It's insane on, like, multiple levels, but, like, you got the news, like, a $1 billion news industry is focusing on this guy's mistype. And then they also got to think about, why the hell is this guy typing right now? Get to work. If I was tweeting in the middle of my job, I'd be fired. So like, this guy's in charge of everything, and like, he's over here tweeting and mistweeting. It's like, come on, man, I know you're busy. But like, at the same time, like, who cares? It's a mistweet. Who gives a shit?
Well, this is what my wife says. My wife says, why the hell does he even have media accounts? I don't know about you, Phil or James, but I have to agree with her on that one. Like, the president really shouldn't have any kind of media account whatsoever. And if he does, someone should be like proofreading or going, you know what, sir, let's just not send this one out.
Right. It seems like it'd be like a national security risk somehow, like just somehow.
I'm just saying,
like, hey, the president hasn't had enough sleep in the last 4 days. And he wakes up at 3 a.m. and just starts like tweeting. Oh, shit. Well, one of those was the code for the missiles. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Let me go ahead and delete that one real quick.
Sorry. He's been wearing his toupee for a week straight, and it's been putting straight on his head. So,
right.
You know, that's what happens
that,
this type.
That goes for every politician, really, and every future and past president, not just Trump. It's just no one should have such easy access to talk to everybody. Like, you have the most powerful position in the world. You might slip. You're just a human. You're just as dumb as the rest of us. You might make a mistake.
Oh, jeez. I'll get away from the politics. We'll get back to pro wrestling.
Okay.
You know,
right.
one of the reasons why your name popped in my head and I started, you know, looking you up and stuff was because of a past guest that I had on the March 15th. Yes, the March 15th episode. His name's Steve Arena.
Oh, yeah, screw that guy. I hate that guy. I tweeted the other day that I hope he died on his way to the show. just totally tongue-in-cheek. Not serious. Just like, I just want to be a dick on Twitter, you know, as every human being has a right to be.
Now, So one of the, I think this is the most recent match you had with him, and I think it was a blue power bomb. I don't know what, or blue thunder, thunder bomb or something like that onto cinder blocks, dude.
All right. Yeah.
How did that feel, man? I mean, that's a rhetorical question. I know how it felt, but could you tell us like maybe like what organ exploded and, you know, how that match went overall?
Well, I mean, just to be completely truthful and just break all character and fourth walls and everything like that, it hurt. But I think because most wrestlers have to go through this process and this pain so often, you kind of get deadened to it. Like, your nerves are kind of deadened to it. Like, I couldn't tell you how many times I just randomly get slapped just walking around the house with wrestlers. You know, like, I get chopped dozens of times a day. And, like, I'll just be sitting here talking to a buddy of mine, and we'll just be chopping each other, just talking. I'll talk about the news and just be chopping each other. And so, like, taking a powerbomb onto cinder blocks hurt. It hurt like hell. But I guarantee, you know, most wrestlers could probably take it, get up, and carry on about their life. Any other person, any regular person would be in a hospital. It just, that's just the way it is. We're just deadened to it. So it hurt like hell, but for a wrestler, you know, you can keep going.
Well, man, I tell you what, you took it like a champ, and you made it look like it hurt like hell. Like, I'm almost certain that I spit up a little bit of blood when I was watching.
Yeah,
like, I was like, what the fuck was that about?
Yeah, there's no faking it. Like, I just took it. There's like, you know, like a lot of times you're like, oh, what a superplex. And, you know, like, then you stop and think, okay, it hurts like hell, but there is, like, safety measures. There is, like, padding and a canvas over the hard wood and the steel. But, like, we took up the padding and the canvas, so it's just the hard wood over the steel, and then we're going to put center blocks on top of it. And it's like, there's no faking it. They're not fake blocks. They're not special constructions. I just took a blue thunder bomb on the center blocks.
Yeah.
Like, just falling down like that.
Yeah, that's no good. That's not, no. If I fall onto the couch too hard, I cry. That's just, no.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
bad news, man.
It's the strangest thing. Like, I'll stub my toe at home and I break down and cry. And, like, oh, I thought I was tough.
Fucking nerves, man. Before you know, you leave the, you know, leave the show, and you tell everyone where we can find you and where your next show is, I got two questions for you.
Okay.
The first one, and I ask all wrestlers this, any guest that comes on the show, what's your favorite road story? What's the one road story that you're always telling, you know, around the campfire?
You know, I feel like my life is completely boring because I've been wrestling for 10 years and I've been driving everywhere. And I don't have, like, any crazy road stories, simply because I guess I'm just a fairly conservative person to where, like, if any crazy situation, I'm completely away from that. I just, like, no, not dealing with this. So, like,
so you're, like, one of the people that actually run away from gunshots?
Right. Like, I'm a sane person. So, like, I hear all these stories. Like, I got a buddy of mine who told me a story, and I'll just tell you his, because it's far better than anything I have.
That's cool, man.
He was in a car, himself and three other people, and they wore adult diapers, and just adult diapers. And they played a game where they each took a bunch of laxatives, and they turned off the AC, and they kept the windows rolled up, and they just shat themselves the entire time. The first person to roll down the window to gasp for air, they pulled over and they beat them with the filled diapers.
Oh no! Oh.
So, I'm not telling you whose road story that is, because that's for them to say later on. But this person is starting to come up in the world of indie wrestling. So you hear that kind of story, which is just like the extreme. Then you hear about the other stories, like, oh, this person was like doing with this with some rat on the road, and this person got into a fight with this wrestler, and this one shat in this guy's back. I don't enjoy ribs like that, and I don't enjoy like this kind of stories. Like, they're fun to think about in the past, but if it happens to me, I just hold a grudge. It's like, no, I don't. No, they all suck. I don't want anything to do with those kind of stories.
Why is Matthew Palmer always riding a motorcycle to shows? Because no passengers, man.
Like, I can't
no
trust
passengers.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you how many like trips I've made, like a 20-hour drive just by myself, because I would rather listen to a graphic audiobook than like be anywhere near certain wrestlers. It's like, hey, you can ride with this guy along the way. It's like, I'd rather not. I'll just pay the cast myself. It's okay.
I'm just saying, The Tale of Two Cities, read by Samuel L. Jackson, is absolutely amazing. It's breathtaking.
Is that a real thing?
No, it's not.
Damn it, because I would totally look that up. Cause
I actually got three
iPods filled with audiobooks, and I would fill that one so quick with Sam Jackson telling me stories.
That would be, yes, Moby Dick and all the great classics. Well, hey, man, I would get tweets and emails and just hate mail if I did not ask, and I have a feeling you already know. What's it like being married to one of the most awesome, baddest chicks in NXT right now?
It's all right. it's cool, but she and I, we've been together for 8 years. We met in training, actually, at Lance Hoyt School, and we met kind of, I guess, in a negative way. I'll tell you that real quick. So we had to do a drill, basically, where it's give one, take one. So if somebody hits you in the face with, say, like a drop kick, you have to give it back to them. Or if they give you a body slam, you got to get up and give them a body slam. Being a smaller guy at the time, I was only like 145 pounds. I just got paired up with her, who was the only girl in the class. And she snapmares me down and kicks me hard as she can in the spine. And I was like, you know what? Screw this. We're taught in wrestling to whatever we take, we give back. Just give them the receipt. You want to be a dick? I'll be a dick back. So I snapmare her down, and I kick her as hard as I could in the spine. She gets up and just, like, nails me in the face with, like, a drop kick. So I get right back. I nail her in the face with a drop kick. Lance Hoyt is laughing his ass off and just separates us, and she's just pissed off at me. And I'm just this gullible idiot. I'm still kind of new. She's got, like, a year on me in wrestling. And so I'm just like, I guess I did good. I don't know. So she's pissed at me.
And, oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like a couple months later, started dating. now we're engaged. We're not formally married just yet because her schedule's so damn busy. We want to go back to Texas for the wedding.
Oh, okay.
So we're just engaged. We consider ourselves married. We just, you know, we have such large families. We have to go back to Texas to have any ceremony. Otherwise, they'll all attack us. But as far as, like, her newfound celebrity and her training, it's unbelievable that it's weird watching her go through the process of almost starting over again. Because I truly feel she might be one of the best women's wrestlers in the world as far as just, like, wrestling. Like, if you ever get a chance, like, it's very rare, but if you ever get the chance to just see her, like, open up and unload what she can actually do, it's phenomenal. I've seen her do 450s off the top of the ropes to the outside on the one person.
Oh, wow.
It's insane. Like, she has zero fear and does not care about anything except having a phenomenal match.
And a lot of those matches wouldn't be under
the Indies, so.
And it wouldn't be under Ember Moon. It would be under Athena, right?
You'd catch her under Athena, like, we found some god-awful matches of hers recently that we were enjoying, like laughing at her, like her first year. But like just watching her grow from that, I think her name was Trouble with Booker T's promotion.
Nice.
And then watching her grow to Athena and like become an indie darling. Then watching her start off in WWE and go from Athena to Ember Moon. And just like those 10 years that she did on the indies were like combined into like 8 months. In WWE, she goes from being this rookie, this like scared rookie, to like this locker room leader, to like this person who's just doing everything they can to have a phenomenal match. And it's like it's insane how that WWE does that to a person. Like this guy, you got 10 years of experience, and yet you got to start all over and just bust your ass all over again. You know, it's wonderful watching her persevere through it and grow. Because I've seen some times where like she was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Because like it's not worth it. You know, before she made it on TV, you know. And then as soon as she gets on TV, she's like, oh, it was all worth it. I'm so glad that moment of weakness passed.
And well, everyone seems to love her, man. Like, she's on fire when she's in the ring. Like, I don't think I've I don't think I've ever seen her, you know, hiccup in the ring. And that's
right.
It's awesome to see her go. And when she goes, dude. And I know everyone has seen a little bit of Ember Moon in NXT. And like Mr. Palmer said here, go check her out on the independent circuit as well. And of course, check out Matthew Palmer on the independent circuit, his feuds with Steve Areno. And
if you have,
where can we find you? Well, no, dude, you're awesome, man. You're very entertaining in the ring.
So I'm working for PW Revolver, Pro Wrestling Revolver. It's actually Sammy Callahan's show in the Midwest, like the Ohio, Iowa area. I just started working for them for a little bit. You can catch me at Inspire, basically there every show. I also help write for that show a bit too, and like not like a booker, but like I just throw out tons of ideas and they listen to me. And then I think that next show is July 3rd, I think. I don't keep a calendar on me. I have to go back to the office and look at it. And then I'm going to be at PW Revolver August 4th for the Pro Wrestling Catalina Wine Mixer, something like that. It's the Catalina Pro Wrestling Mixer. That's what it was. It was a stepbrother's joke. And then I have a debut for a large indie promotion up north that I'm not allowed to say just yet. But it's a very popular one, and I'm very excited to finally debut for them.
Sweet. And, of course, we can find you on Twitter at it's Palmer is Lost, right?
Yeah, you can find me. Palmer is Lost. I believe my Facebook is still Centerfold 1986 because I'm old. You got Palmer's Lost on Instagram and Twitter, and I believe that's it. I don't think I even have a Snapchat. If I do, I don't remember it.
Fair enough. Hopefully no one has hacked that, and you know you're not getting in trouble. I've heard it happen before.
I mean, there's so many penises on the internet; they'll never be able to identify mine.
Hashtag truth, brother. Hashtag truth. Well,
no,
hey, man,
no filter.
no filter. On behalf of Pin the Shoulders podcast, congratulations on the engagement, and thank you very much, sir, for coming on the show. We hope to have you back on again.
Oh, yeah, man, anytime. I had a blast. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir. Thank you.
All right, y'all have a great night.
You too, sir.
You too, Matthew. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, folks, if you're just tuning in, you just missed Matthew Palmer. Had some great stories and we had some good questions. We're gonna switch over to James Quinn. Sir, you have a busy schedule as well. You've been making movie after movie, the No Knock List, and you're training for the Sandman right now. How's it going, man? Tell everyone how badass this process is.
It's been awesome, buddy. It's busy. I mean, as you know, the schedule's been hellacious. Otherwise, I would have been on the show the past few weeks. But, the last couple of months, I mean, we started No Knock List back in late April, and that's going to carry through till probably the very end of June. And, shooting's going tremendously. I actually couldn't be happier with how things are going with that. It's a fresh new take on horror, and we can't wait to show everybody a little teaser for it soon. Sandman, been training hard, getting ready for that, trying to get back to my boxing shape and boxing weight days, and that's been a lot of fun. It's taken me back to a favorite pastime. And we'll be shooting that here probably mid-July, the way it's looking. And yeah, both of those alone are keeping me quite busy. We're in post-production on Called Upon still. We just finished the Pelican Bar a couple of months ago, so there's a lot happening right now. We're excited, man. It's just tiresome. I think it was probably a 6-week period where I was 7 days a week and, you know, sleeping probably 2 to 3 hours a night if I was lucky. And so I think I was actually, you know, seeing double of everything I saw. So that probably wasn't a good sign, but I'm all right. We're back to normal now. I've had some sleep and we're recharged and ready to keep kicking ass.
And folks, to the people listening at home, James Quinn and Phil Stamper absolutely probably despise the amount of energy that I have at 10 o'clock at night. but I have to thank you guys for coming on and dealing with with the immense amount of power that I push out in my voice and my energy. You guys are rad. I know you guys are constantly busy, but you guys are always there for me. So I got to thank you very much for that. But as far as wrestling goes, independent circuit, let's go back, because we kind of had to cut you off, Mr. Stamper, about the Vampiro show. Was there anything else that you wanted to...
No, I think I covered the big bulk of it. I think I covered the big bulk of it. It was cool. It's been a while since I've been to Canada, so it was just kind of cool in general. On a personal level, I got to go to Niagara Falls. I've never been there before, so that was cool to see in person. So an enjoyable trip all the way around. Go ahead.
No, did you get one of those cool umbrella hats?
No, I did not. I did not do the boat. I did not wear the poncho. I did not ride a barrel. Go to the Canada side to go see the falls, and they are right because it is the better side to see them. it's not knocking anything United States. It's just a better view of them in Canada.
Oh, hey, guys, we got a caller coming in real quick. Hello, caller. This is Serious Brad with Pin the Chillers Podcast. We got the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper, and we got James Quinn. How's it going? How can we help you tonight?
Hey, how you guys doing? It's Jesse from Long Island. How you guys doing?
Jesse from Long Island.
Hi, Jesse.
How's it going, man?
Oh, simple question. Who's the best wrestler to ever do it for you?
To what?
To ever do it, the game.
To do the game, he's talking about like the greatest of all time, the GOAT.
And the GOAT, and mine would be Hogan.
All right, Hogan.
I know that's an unpopular answer amongst wrestlers. Actually, wrestling.
I mean, Hogan is a pretty iconic person, and that's a very very good go-to. But James Quinn, who's your GOAT right now? Who do you think the GOAT is?
We're talking. Are we talking all time, Jesse, or are we talking currently?
All time.
All time. Well, you know where I'm going to go, and it's my well every time. I'm going to the Heartbreak Kid. It's all about Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Never seen anybody outperform that guy on any level.
I was about to say, I bet you will be Shawn Michaels.
A lot of people that come to mind.
Can I back up my Hogan answer for a quick second?
Sure, why not? Go ahead.
His wrestling skills. I never stepped in the ring, so I don't know. And I know, like, but I read in Triple H's book and World Magazine that Ric Flair was his favorite. And a lot of people preferred Ric Flair over Hogan as far as wrestling wise. But Hogan was able to do three generations.
Hello? Oh, it looks like we lost our caller.
Oh, still with us, Jesse.
Well, hey guys, we can keep going, Mr. Stamper. Who's your GOAT?
I mean, Hulk Hogan is a good choice. He changed the face of professional wrestling in very public ways that everybody knows about. You know, in the WWE, he was the very active face of the, I don't know if you want to call it the rock and wrestling revolution. And when he went to WCW, he's the one that sort of helped create Nitro to be the entity that it was. He changed their production, like, behind the scenes. So, I mean, Hogan is a good choice for those reasons. If I had to pick modern day, I mean, I really am gung-ho about AJ Styles. I mean, this is a guy that really became the face of Impact Wrestling. It's odd because, you know, he was on the last, month of WCW, so he had that experience there. He did Impact. He competed in Japan. He was part of the Bullet Club. He's in WWE. The ability that he's had to do high flying, to do technical wrestling, to go against guys much bigger than him, compete at a very level, and become a very recognizable name, and have the WWE pick up and run with him based off his performances and how he interacted with the others at that level, without going through their internal development process, that I think speaks volumes about the kind of person he is in the ring. And I think, at least on an in the ring basis right now, if I had to pick a current active person, it would be AJ Styles.
No argument there.
That's really hard to beat, and I think I'm going to right now. Fandango, baby. I enjoy me some Fandango. I do, man. The guy's got moves in and out of the ring. I'm just saying he's got talents, and I think that maybe he can.
He's got talent.
He's got talent. Yeah, maybe he can make it to. It was catchy.
Yeah, Phil,
it was catchy.
AJ is today's game, buddy. There's nobody that can hang on him right now.
It's really hard to beat AJ, absolutely. Of course, you know, a very close argument would be, you know, Omega. But, I mean, AJ, as far as brandishment and accolades and it's definitely AJ Styles. So, you know what, I'm gonna have to agree with you on that, AJ Styles. I think he won it this time. But here's a little some current events, not so current, but something that is still being talked about. The exiting of Adam Cole from the Bullet Club by Marty Scurll. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, it's bittersweet. It really is, as far as I'm concerned. What do you guys think?
I've known Adam Cole for a little bit, and I don't know, for me in my brain, sometimes it was hard to, it's hard to see him as that person. And when it happened though, I saw the build. I loved the build towards the end of it. But not that it was going to be Marty Scurll to get rid of him. And I absolutely love Marty. I love his in-ring ability, how he carries himself. So for that to happen, I'm a total big fan of all of it.
it really is awesome. Like, it was just you want that story to continue. You know, kind of like the Broken Universe. Everyone really wanted that to continue, and it's just. And I know everyone's excited about Adam Cole coming to NXT. I mean, who isn't? It's going to be great to see what they do with him. And hopefully they don't, you know, make the wrong choice. Because that's all it really takes, as we all know, in the WWE, to kind of just be thrown on the back burner. And I'm hoping that does not happen. Knock on wood. I'm doing that right now. Damn it. I really want to see the shit continue. I want to, I was kind of hoping that, Adam Cole was going to go to WCPW and, they could kind of still, dive in and out with the Bullet Club story. But from what I hear, he's going to NXT. Am I wrong? Did you guys hear that as well? Is he going to NXT, Phil?
I think he will. I mean, if you look at, when they brought people over from Ring of Honor, look at Tyler Black, who's now Seth Rollins. It went through NXT. Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they did NXT. So I kind of feel that would be the track that he would go.
What about you, sir? James Quinn, how are you feeling? You're a huge Ring of Honor fan. You love Ring of Honor. That's your brand of choice. How are you feeling about this, man?
Oh, big time. That's interesting, man, because I am an Adam Cole guy. And so, we've heard the rumors for a while. He's going to NXT. I don't know if there's – I did hear something to the effect that he's still under contract and he may have a no-compete clause, so it might be a few months until we see it happen. I don't know how true that is. But if he was going to leave the Bullet Club, I think I have to agree with Phil. Marty Scurll's probably the most suitable replacement you could find. I mean, I don't know another character like the villain right now, so – I'm kind of excited about what they're doing right there with Bullet Club right now again. I just hope that they don't misuse Adam Cole in NXT, man. I hope he gets, you know, to be on display for what he is, you know, and that's pretty awesome. But yeah, I'm excited if it is true. But at the same token, I'm also disappointed to see him leave Ring of Honor because it is one of the places I like to watch, you know, pretty religiously actually, every week. And I follow them closely. So I figured if he was going anywhere, he might go to New Japan or something just to make sure that he was being used properly. But I mean, I guess he's excited about the NXT deal, and I'm excited to see what it brings. But I just hope they do it right with him.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that he's already, you know, in a cannon, getting ready to be shot over to the main roster. Aleister Black. But, you know, that'd be kind of sick to see, you know, Adam Cole come in to NXT and compete against Aleister Black. Because I don't know if you guys remember, I don't know if you're a fan of Being the Elite, the YouTube show or not. But yeah. They did a live Q&A where it had Adam Cole, Omega, and the Young Bucks. And they actually had the question of who would you want to compete against before your career is over? And Adam Cole's answer was Aleister Black. So I would like to – man, that'd be sweet. I would love to see that happen. I'd like to see Aleister Black because I don't know if you guys saw was it Saturday Night's Superstars or whatever they called it. Aleister Black went up against Curtis Axel. What's his name? Has the cane.
is Axel still on the roster?
I don't think he is on the roster. I don't know. He might be injured. But I'm thinking of the fact guy.
Oh, Kurt Hawkins.
Kurt Hawkins, yes.
There you go.
Yeah, they had him up against Kurt Hawkins, and it like took a little bit for Aleister Black to put him away, and it was almost like aggravating him and stuff like that. So I'm kind of hoping that they build that up because I don't know if you guys know at home, but they're kind of billing Aleister Black as a very well-centered pro wrestler. His anger is on point. When he gets up, he's getting up to knock you out and then just kind of go back to his what seems kind of zen-ish. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm kind of hoping that they're going to have a few more matches where it kind of gets Aleister Black to a very dark and angry point, and then they bring Adam Cole in. That's what I'd like to see. I don't know about you guys. Would you like to see Aleister Black go to the main roster or kind of stick behind and kind of welcome Adam Cole?
I mean, inevitably, I think he's going. I think they might have brought too many people up right now. I think maybe the timing isn't perfect for him to cross over now. You know, but somewhere down the road between, you know, the next 4 months in WrestleMania, I would say it's going to happen. I think they're just overloaded right now. I think they brought a lot of people over. I mean, what's your take, Phil?
I kind of agree with you. I mean, I absolutely think he'll be in the main roster picture. I think, you know, we've had people on the show who have talked about, I want to wrestle Tommy Yin. I love Tommy Yin. Tommy Yin's the guy. Like, we've heard that on this show from other people. I think
we
see interviews and other people talked about, can't wait for Tommy, we can't wait for Aleister Black. So I'm excited. And there is, I think, if they build it right, and that's the thing, if they build it right, I think he'll do really well. I think he will get a good response from the crowd. I hope I'm reading everything right because I haven't heard of any like internal strife or God only knows what could go wrong. Because we hear now and again of those kinds of things that, like, you know, unfortunately, whatever reason buries a person, like Cesaro, who didn't seemingly do anything wrong, but just didn't get a good opportunity for years and years and years, and it felt like really only in the last, maybe year and a half, finally, like, they're like, oh, yeah, he's a good guy to have around. Like, and I really hope that that's not the path that Aleister Black goes down.
No, certainly not. That man needs to be – he's the type of guy that needs to be just pointed towards a main event, on any of the major four. He needs to be introduced, I feel. And I'm really – like you said, I'm really looking forward – and if they do it right, I'm really looking forward to him blowing up because I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for them to put some gold around his waist, and I don't care if it's intercontinental. I don't care if it's heavyweight. I know I ain't going to be tag team. I don't see him tagging with anybody anytime soon, but it's I can't wait to see some glimmer on him. So, but hey, guys, we're coming close to the end of the show. It's been an awesome, awesome edition. We've had Matthew Palmer on the show. Of course, we have James Quinn. We have the president of wrestling, Phil Stanford. But before we go, we need to give the listeners at home the rundown of where we can find us and where they can see us. Mr. President, please tell the listeners at home what show they should be looking for and where they can find you.
I actually, not this weekend, but next weekend, a lot is going on. I'm involved with MCW Pro Wrestling. You can find them at mcwprowrestling.com, H2O, which is Hardcore Hustle Organization. They also have an event on Friday, June 9th. Then on June 10th, Grand Slam Wrestling in Pennsylvania. And then Sunday, June 11th, I'm not going to be there, I've been behind the scenes helping out with some things for Powerbomb TV is having their first live event. They have been doing live events on Facebook Live for other companies, and now they'll be hosting and holding their own event. And that also takes place up in the in Old Forge, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania. So there's a lot coming up in the next couple of weeks.
And, of course, we can find you on Twitter at PS Phenom and Facebook, the same
Correct.
Thing, all right? I think it's on Facebook, it's Philip Stanford. But
right.
Go check out
Twitter. Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at PS Phenom. That's PSPHENOM. And on Facebook at Desk of Phil Stamper.
And folks, seriously, go check him out because he has one of the most thorough, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most thorough indie calendars out there. And he branches from everywhere. So if you want to know about an independent show somewhere in Alaska, most likely, Mr. President is going to know about it. So go check him out. And James Quinn, sir, let everyone know where we can find you.
Sir, as always, everything's at the JQA. So we go to Twitter, we go to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. You can follow all my work on the JQA. And also on YouTube. We have a lot of things coming. There'll be a teaser probably coming out, I want to say, around July for No Knock List. So be on the lookout for that. And send me messages, man. I always love to hear from everyone and try to answer as many as possible all the time. So thanks for having me on the show again, Brad.
Well, hey, man. Like, you know, I've always said this, and I, you know, the two people that absolutely have a seat at this table at all times is Philip Stamper and James Quinn. So thank you for just coming and hanging out at your home.
thank you.
But, you know, yeah, absolutely, man. Of course, I got to touch down with, you know, and say hi to my partners in Chicago, Pro Wrestling Blitz. They just put on a phenomenal show, Locked and Loaded. It was May 27th. If you didn't get to see it live, go and check them out on Fight TV. And make sure that you're checking out the build-up to their August 12th show, 2017. August 12th, 2017, called WrestleFest 8. They got some mad talent coming in, and it's going to be a great show. So go check them out. You can check them out on Twitter at pwblitz.com is where you can go check out their website and also purchase tickets if you're around the area. And also on Twitter at Blitz Wrestling. And, of course, Greg DeMarco, thank you, sir. Thanks, ProWrestling.biz, for giving us the time to do what we love to do. And, of course, the sponsors, HiQ Hydration, Square Circle Apparel, Grapple, and FiveFingerJerky.com. Guys, thank you so much for listening and tuning in each and every week. This is Bill Stamper, the president of wrestling, James Quinn, the JQ Way, and yours truly, Serious Brad. And remember, it's never a bad time to be serious.